in her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacking just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth.
We usually do not hear from Chewy on the weekends.
No.
You like to just disappear.
I mean, okay, I think you should amend that statement. We don't hear from sober Chewy on the weekends. He gets a couple pops in him, you know, a little bit of vino.
That's when I do my best work.
Every once in a while, then he starts sending us, he'll send a little text over.
It's usually a good story.
But yeah, like...
Like this weekend?
So this weekend, Chewy sends us a photograph, of his meat.
Technically, it wasn't his meat.
This is everyone's
meat. Hey, you do not get to ruin the punchline here, Gabe. All right, technically, it was everyone's meat. So Chewy sends us a photograph of his monster hand, his giant human hand, holding what appears to be a burger. Now, before we go too far down this path, Gabe, when you saw it,
yeah,
you thought he was referring to the quality of the meat, right?
Correct, because like, it was a little brown in the middle. It didn't look like the best. That's what I thought he was initially talking about. Of maybe because he did not purchase the meat. I want to make that clear. So
which I normally do for events.
Yeah,
I normally handle everything.
Ange
was at the store, so. She handled it. But I was sending the picture for the thickness of the burgers.
Yes. Yes. That I picked up on that right away. So the burgers are very thin. I would say I'm trying to think of something. I don't know.
A quarter inch, maybe. See, I don't even think it was a third.
Like when they make the burger patty for you, that's about the thickness. I think you're thrown off by the dimension of Jolly Green Giant's hand. And that's making it look smaller.
Object
and mirror
may
be smaller than it appears.
Yeah, it may appear smaller. I think these are thin burgers, man. Like, yes. So Chewy says, my wife's hamburger purchase for the family. Are you bleeping kidding me? Is his question. And Chew, I assume it was, I'm going to throw this thing on the grill and it is going to disappear.
Took a minute aside. Never had a burger like that. Oh. 60 seconds, flip. It took longer to melt the cheese than to cook the burger.
Had to put it on right away after the flip.
Now, if it was friends, I probably would have went back to the store.
Oh.
But it wasn't?
But it was family.
Oh. So they'll deal with it.
Yeah, they'll deal with it.
Joshy is efforting right now to get the photograph of the burger up on the YouTube stream. So if you're watching on YouTube, stick around. We're going to show you exactly what Chewy showed us this weekend. My favorite line from Chew, just out of curiosity, how many pops were you in at this point when you were showing us your meat?
I was cooking not too bad. Handful of glasses of wine. You know?
Because the line that killed me, just absolutely put me on my ass, was... Never tried cooking with a candle before.
Which, that would probably have been 3 minutes aside.
But it was a challenge.
What do you those had to be a quarter inch.
Again, I think the combination of you in the wine and the size of your hand throwing everything
you
off.
You really don't think this is that bad.
I don't think it's that bad. I think if you buy a package of burgers at like, because it looked like it was one of those prepackaged, you get 8 burgers in a thing.
That's what it was.
That's about the size that you get. Like, I don't think that's what you get. Now, okay, they're going to be a little bit thicker if you go to the deli and you get the ones that are stuffed with bacon and cheddar or whatever. But if you go to, you know, whatever grocery store that you frequent, you can go and take a look. That's about the size of the burger that
you're
going to get.
But what if you ordered a burger at a bar and that came out?
No good.
Well, I mean, a burger at a bar, that's going to be 2 patties. They're going to throw that in another patty on it.
Well, and I would say that's a kid's patty. That's what my kids get.
Yes.
Or sliders. If you order sliders, that's a slider-sized burger.
No, because, I mean, think about smash burgers. Like, smash burgers are even thinner than that.
Yeah, but smash burgers go in a tiny little bun, though, don't they?
No, you can have a big old
thing. Sliders. Smash burgers where they take the
sliders.
They take the
which
meat,
is a smaller
the
bun. Meat.
They take the metal thing and they smash it into the griddle.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like a Culver's burger would kind of be the closest thing that you've probably had to a smash burger. It's a pretty thin patty on a Culver's.
So
burger.
Your issue was, and this I actually really understood, Chu, since you were doing the grilling, you were concerned that those who were eating the burgers would think this was your product.
Yeah.
This is what you thought was sufficient. This is what you thought was adequate to serve to your people. Now, your concern was your reputation.
Yes. I'm more of a third of a pound. Half pound's a little big.
Quarter pound's too light?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I could have smashed two of them together.
Which is what I said. Yeah. But then nobody responded to my text, so I was like, ah, right? That's fine. Yeah, that's what I would have done. I would have put the cheese on the inside, smashed two of the burgers together, yeah. Made a little delicacy.
Juicy Lucy. It's too much. It's too Minnesota for me.
Juicy
I'm out.
Juicy Lucy? What is that?
Well, you've never heard of a Juicy Lucy?
No.
Yeah.
What is it?
It's a burger that has like basically like a stuffed burger, but it has a lot of cheese on the inside. It's a Minnesota creation. So kind of what you were describing, but it has a lot of cheese on the inside, so they call it a Juicy Lucy.
Dave's like, could be delicious. So I don't you're know. Kind of we're never from Minnesota.
So you're stretching.
I'm never going to find
essentially
out.
Is what you're doing is you're stretching the meat by jamming other stuff in there.
I mean, usually it's still like the patty itself is going to be pretty thick. Because okay. You have all the different things in there. You're still getting the regular amount of meat.
Do you normally buy pre-patty-shaped burgers?
Pre-made.
Instead of making them yourself?
Right.
Yeah, because then you gotta do stuff to it, don't you? Yeah. Gotta put an egg and breadcrumbs and
speaking
no?
of stretching.
Well, I mean, yeah. That's, if you want to make a meatloaf. Yeah.
Well, hold like, on. If you make a burger, is it just the burger?
I don't put any potato chips or breadcrumbs or whatever
so
in my burger.
Take your ground, just take your ground beef,
yeah.
Pound of ground beef. If you want to do a third of a burger, slice it into thirds, roll it up in a ball, and smash it into a patty.
I'd use a little salt and pepper.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, okay. If you're not seasoning your food, you can't be trusted.
Maybe some onion salt. I don't know.
Yeah, if you want to get crazy.
I mean,
Did you just realize those are just ground beef?
No. I thought you had to do a little more to them.
Yeah, so you just realized they just now are ground beef.
But I only could season one side because if I did both, they were going to meet in the middle.
You know salt I mean? Would penetrate through.
Yeah.
The salt flakes from one side of the salt
would
flakes
be popping
from the other
through.
Side.
It was fine, but if it was a dinner party for friends, I think you can get away with it with family.
Did you tell people? Did you say something?
No.
You didn't say like, hey, I'm not responsible for the quality
no,
of
no,
this
no,
evening's
no, no.
dinner because.
No. But I serve Usinger hot dogs with them. Which were gone.
I was about to say, so the burgers were left.
The dogs,
and
yeah.
The dogs were gone.
Did anybody grab two burgers and throw them on the burger, right? Two at a time? Maybe make a little double?
Probably not. No. Because then it would have screwed up the whole bun rotation. Why can't they sell flipping buns with four or six?
Okay.
Why does it have to be 12?
Somebody saw Father of the Bride.
Yes.
Well, I mean,
totally agree.
Burger buns are typically four or eight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the hot dogs get thrown off.
But to your point, Chu, I was at the store this weekend and they had a deal going, 10 burgers in a thing. You could buy 10. Well, mm-hmm. Great, but if you buy the buns, you get 8. So now you're buying two of the, you know, what was the guy's name from Father of the Bride besides Steve Martin. His character.
Prop comic.
What was?
Prop comic? Carrot Top?
Well, he was Neil Page. In Planes, Trains.
And Automobiles. Very good, Chu.
What was he in Father
Banks,
of the Bride?
Banks?
Carl Banks.
Is it Carl? No.
No, Carl, I played against him. He played for the Giants and Cleveland Browns.
Because I can picture Martin Short doing his accent and sort of like,
yeah.
Mr. Banks.
Nina Banks was his wife.
That was the wife. What was his name?
Couldn't tell you.
You ever see it?
I tried Google.
I've never seen Father of the Bride.
I computer up very and running. Good. I guess I should do that, huh?
When I saw that, I wasn't outraged by the size of the burger, to be honest.
Yeah.
Thinner burgers are better.
No.
Yeah.
No, because you can't stack it. Because the stack will be three times as high as the burger.
You
go lettuce, tomato, pickles, onions on there.
That's bigger than the burger, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
How thick are you slicing your tomatoes?
Probably the same size as the burger.
Oh, yeah. Joshy, good job. Joshy got the photograph up on the YouTube stream. If you want to see the thinness, the girth, if you will, of the burgers.
Again, I feel like it gets thrown off by the size of your hands. You got big old hands.
That looks like a perfect.
How do you like your burgers? How do you like your burgers?
Medium.
Medium rare?
I mean,
you can't cook that medium rare.
No, you can't. I think you can if you know how to control the heat of your grill.
I think you need to butt out.
Whoa.
I think we got a skill issue at hand.
Oh, that is.
That was a shot?
I'm uncomfortable.
I mean, questioning a man's grilling ability, Josh. That is.
He's running her too hot.
That's.
What temperature should he have had it at? 150?
Lower. I don't know.
Slow cook it at 5 minutes aside? What are we doing?
We've all seen that where, the grill particularly, people control their heat on the oven stove because it's so easy. I mean, many a times a grill, you come out and it'll
get away from you.
Yeah, well, because everybody's just one set. Uh-huh. Yeah. That knob can go to the left, but nobody actually knows that because they keep it all the way.
The amount of tailgates where your hot dog or your burger is basically blackened, because they're just cranking it and letting it rip.
Would you like a blackened hot dog?
Oh, I've had to paint the house in Florida.
Yeah.
A little too close to the house.
You gotta pull it away. Yeah.
I think the smash burger is the ideal type of burger. I want thin. I want a little crisp on it. I want it thinner than thicker. Like a big mouthful of just hamburger meat, not for me.
No, see, I think it throws off the ratio. Again, it's all about the ratio of bread to meat and your accoutrement, if you will. Like, to me, I can't have more bun than burger. It has to be a good ratio.
Yeah. I agree.
Put two patties
and plus,
on.
I want to.
That's what I typically.
I want to see the medium rare in the middle.
Oh, I can't.
Where it's a little juicy.
Medium rare.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted a little. What's between medium rare and medium? You know what I'm saying? Like, not the bottom end
it's
of medium
rare.
Rare
plus.
Yeah, plus.
Yeah, medium rare plus.
Oh yeah, now this is elevated casual again. Yeah. It's all over again. We're just adding.
Medium rare plus is what I'm looking for in a burger.
See, I'm medium rare negative.
Really?
Yes. I like a little blood.
If you said medium rare negative to somebody at the store, how much spit are you consuming?
How much spit?
Yeah. Medium rare negative?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that's actually a turn.
I don't think.
Yeah.
Well, I'd rather have a burger or a steak undercooked than overcooked.
I agree.
I would definitely the steak. Definitely the steak.
As
like
long
you can
as
get
it's
away
not
with
dangerous.
The burger. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, as long as at that point, it's just steak tartare.
Right.
But yeah, when it comes to a burger, like there's a wider range of temperatures that are acceptable on the burger.
We got a lot of reaction rolling in on the Carbless Talking text line. We got reaction rolling in on the YouTube stream. Let me go to YouTube first. First of all, Mike wants to let us know it's George Banks from Father
George
of the
Banks.
Bride.
Yeah, that's
okay. Silver Fox says, that's thin, Gabe. John says, that looks like a quarter pounder in weight, but it is pretty small. And Greg says, that looks like a very thin burger. Chewy is right.
Yeah, again, if that burger was in a normal person's hand, you think it would look normal?
I don't know.
Do we got shrinkflation going on here?
What is shrinkflation?
Oh, jeez.
Between the Juicy Lucy and shrinkflation, I'm learning all kinds of stuff this morning.
It is when companies... big food producers make, or basically anything, they put less for the same price.
Yes.
So basically, as prices increase, they make smaller and smaller servings of what they're giving you. So they are trying to basically cut corners and convince you you're getting the same thing for the same price when it's smaller. But like the prepackaged thing here is the difference.
Well, yeah, because this is made by whatever grocery store.
Right. Yeah.
Your wife got these from.
Yes. And they were very good. It's just a little small.
It looks like, you know where now when people are so health conscious, you can get cookies, but you can get the thin variety of the cookies.
Oreo
thins.
Like Oreo thins. Yeah.
That's what this reminds me of.
Wait, is that to be healthy?
Hamburger. I think it's supposed to, so you get the taste of the Oreo, but it's, a fraction of
the
size slash
yourself?
Calories.
You got bad nose. You think...
If you think I'm eating Oreo thins, you're sorely mistaken.
If I see a box of Oreo thins, I'm eating enough to get an Oreo regular.
If I decide not to punt them for being a disgrace.
This feels like Burger Thins over here. That's what they were doing, Burger Thins. Hey, you guys were talking about the grill earlier. I saw a cool trick on social media. At the beginning of the season, Chew, you're supposed to take a loaf of bread, and we know how you feel about bread.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to put it on your grill, like flat, flat, flat. Not the loaf, but slices of bread on the grill, and then turn it on normally, and then flip them over, and you can see where the hot spots are on your grill. Oh. That was a smart little life hack I never thought about for the cost of, you know, about 6 or 7 slices of bread, however big your grill is. So the more you know here this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We'll take a break. We got a lot of stuff to get to. Brewers with an unbelievable weekend. We'll talk about that. Is Christian Yelich, what he has done over the last month or so, is that more impressive than what Jacob Mizorowski has done in his first 2 outings? We'll debate that. Plus, Christian Watson is running, Forrest Gump. We saw the video. Stick around. We'll talk about whether or not it could be good for the Packers if he doesn't. That's coming up next.
Guys, I'm telling you, if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, the Jewelry Center, the only place to go for the ring. They're the best place to shop for diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee for a reason. It's what I did. And look, sometimes you don't know what your, you know, bride-to-be wants in an engagement ring. Take a look at our Pinterest page. Bring those ideas into the Jewelry Center, and the helpful team that Dean, the Dancing Machine, has put together over there at the Jewelry Center, always going to point you in the right direction. Whether it's a naturally mined diamond, a lab-grown diamond, whatever you're in the market for when it comes to that engagement ring, of course, the Jewelry Center has it. Check out the inventory at any one of their 3 locations, Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington, or shop online, shoptjc.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What's the one thing you say almost weekly here on the show?
Less eat.
Try again.
I don't know.
What's the one thing you've got?
Big boobs.
You've got time.
Oh, time.
You've got time.
Yes. Yeah, you're right.
We got there.
Check off. I needed a few more hints.
Yeah. What? He put you in a... That's Dave's fault.
On 94.5 ESPN.
We've got Jeff Levering coming up at 8:30 this morning to talk about the Brew Crew, what a weekend they've had, and now we've got this big matchup on Wednesday that I know a lot of people are going to get excited about. It is Mizorowski, it is Skeens, it is at AmFam Field. We will talk to Jeff Levering about that. But there was a video that popped this weekend about your Green Bay Packers, and more specifically, Christian Watson. Christian Watson is running, guys. The video is... running routes, cutting, hitting pretty close to full speed. That from Zach Jacobson on the old Twitter/X. And my first reaction was, good for him. Good for Christian Watson that he is out there getting closer to full speed, getting close to being available for the Green Bay Packers. But Gabe, you and others had a different reaction to seeing Christian Watson running, which is...
this is kind of where he's supposed to be, isn't it? Like, I didn't look at him going, oh, man, that's really close to full speed. No, he's just running on it. This is, to me, a part of the rehab. Like, I didn't look at this and go, whoo, oh, boy, yeah, training camp. Man, training camp's what? Training camp's 4 or 5 weeks away? Yeah, I bet he's going to be ready for training camp. I don't think he's going to be ready for training camp.
No. There's a little hitch, but he does look good.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
He's going to be on PUP. So is that 4 or 6?
So,
are he's going to be on whatever?
So PUP, physically unable to perform. That's the list that he can be on because he's coming into the season with the injury. So he would have to sit for 4 weeks. And then after that, there's an additional 5-week grace period where you have to decide if you want that player start practicing. Once you start to practice, there's an additional 3-week window that he can practice before you actually activate him onto the roster. So there's a lot of different steps there.
So that's probably what he'll be on. Because it'll take him a while. I mean, it's one thing to run straight line and, you know, you start introducing cuts and things. It's when you get around bodies, that's when you get very uncomfortable. So that takes mentally 2 weeks to get used to.
And that's in practice. I'm assuming there's another level when you go to playing against another team. I mean, this is all progressive, right? You got to get through the stages, mm-hmm. got to get through the checkpoints before you actually do that. But my point is there's actually still that learning curve when you get on the field and you're taking on actual competition at full speed where you got to get over that mental hurdle of like, okay, here we go. We got this. You know, we can handle it. But we've used the phrase logjam before when it comes to these wide receivers. And even when we were saying logjam, the thought was Christian Watson would be on PUP. This idea of racing him, rushing him back to the roster, could you make the argument, Gabe, that it actually hurts the Packers? Rushing Christian Watson back or getting him back at the start of the season actually hurts them because they'd have to make some even tougher decisions.
I don't know if it hurts them because the guys that they would have to release are clearly not as good as Christian Watson. But I think they would prefer to not have to make that decision. Because let's say he starts on PUP, and we've already talked about the wide receivers that they have, and you're adding two rookie wide receivers to there. So you're looking at potentially Bo Melton, Malik Heath, and Mecole Hardman, three guys for one spot. Well, that one spot might go away, and maybe they keep seven, and it's still three for one if Watson's available, but they're more likely thinking, okay, three for one, then we have our six guys. The situation's going to take care of itself. Either there's another injury or we decide that we can, you know, live without somebody or whatever throughout the course of the season that they would be able to figure out. Or if they want to keep seven when Christian Watson comes back and they're able to do so because there's an injury at a different position, you know, that they can just slide him in onto the 53-man roster as a seventh wide receiver because they like what whoever else makes the roster is doing on special teams. Like, you wouldn't have to make a decision or a tough decision on somebody you want to cut on the back end that might contribute on special teams if Christian Watson just starts on PUP.
They need to protect him from himself a little bit because he is going into a contract year. Mm-hmm. He wants to get on that field as quick as possible to get catches, yards, touchdowns, so he gets paid the following year. So you have to protect him from coming back too early. So they'll put him on PUP, he'll miss the next four, and then see where we go from there. See how quickly he's ready to go. But he's going to want to be. Matter of fact, he's probably fighting him as far as putting him on PUP. He's going to sit there and go, I can play. I can do it.
But I think, again, especially with somebody like him, who's had so many injury concerns throughout the course of his career, I think you want to make sure. Because him rushing back and then having another injury, that's no good for him either.
No,
you know, in terms of him trying to get that next contract, whether it's the Packers or elsewhere.
That's why I said try to extend him.
I'm going to give you guys the option right now. Christian Watson, I would prefer Christian Watson to miss time or not miss time. Because it feels like the argument that you're making here is I would prefer Christian Watson to miss time. And again, in a vacuum, that feels crazy town. Why in the world would you want one of your best threats, one of your best pass catchers, to miss time? But the points that you're making, I think, are well stated. One, you've got this logjam. The PUP spot gives them an extra, it's like a layaway, right? It's like, we're going to buy that. We just can't buy it right now. Just hang out over there a little bit. And that lets us also evaluate this stuff. And then the other thing is, he is injury prone. He has been prone to injuries. So this is a guy who you want to take a little bit more time with getting him back to the field. Don't rush him to get out there week one. So if I had to vote on that poll, Christian Watson misses time. I prefer he misses time to not missing time.
I think I would want him to miss a little bit of time because I think once you even have the knee, okay, hey, this knee's healthy enough for you to play in an NFL football game, then you want to be able to have that extra time because one of the reasons why he apparently was having hamstring issues is because one hamstring was stronger than the other. Hey, let's just make sure that throughout this rehab process, there hasn't been other issues within either one of your legs that's popped up. Let's make sure. Let's run you back over to Madison. Do that little hammy test. Make sure everything's good. I just would rather, you know, cross all the T's, dot all the I's, and then double check it again when it comes to the health of a young player's knee like this, because you don't, the luxury of drafting the two wide receivers and having the other wide receivers you have is you don't have to rush him back. Let's make sure you can be the best version of you, because Christian Watson at 75-80% probably is not as good as some of the other guys they already have on the roster.
So, Chu, how do you navigate this if you're a player? How do you navigate this? Because to your point, you mentioned the contract situation. You mentioned he's going to want a full season to show his value. Every game he misses in his mind devalues him to the team. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but you're coming at it from a player standpoint. How should Christian Watson handle the return to the roster?
I would slow play it, probably, because if you get out there too early, and hamstrings, you know, have been a problem. You get out there too early, you're not running naturally, that puts stress on the other hamstring, something happens. So let's say he comes back, they don't put him on PUP week three, has hamstring issues. He could cost himself a lot of money, because then the following year, he's only signing a one-year deal. I'm just wondering right now. All right, let me ask you this. Let's say he didn't get hurt. He didn't get hurt, finished out the season. He's a free agent. What would he have got paid this year?
Who?
12, 14? Because he's eyeballing. What he's looking at is the top receivers in the game making 30.
Sure.
And players are a little delusional.
Yeah, I understand. When the most you've ever played, this last year was the healthiest he had ever been.
Yeah.
So most games he's ever played in the season. Also the most yards he's ever had in the season. 620.
Well, let me give you some of the names. Justin Jefferson, 35. CeeDee Lamb, 34. A.J. Brown. I'm not saying he belongs up there. I'm just giving you the list of wide receivers. A.J. Brown, 32. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 30. Tyreek Hill, 30. Devontae Adams, 28. Stop me when I get to a place where you're like, Cooper Kupp, 26.
Actually, you know, what was the first one on the list?
Justin Jefferson.
And what was he making?
35.
All right, so like his career right now is about a Justin Jefferson season, so he can get $35 million over, what, 3 or 4 years?
Split it in three.
Which is probably pretty fair. I'm just wondering what he would take.
98 catches, 1,600 yards, and 14 touchdowns. That's like an average Justin Jefferson season. So he gets the 35, he's got to split out over a number of years.
So if I said 3 years, like you said, $36 million, would you take it?
If I'm Watson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not going to take it. He's not. And I think he's a pretty reasonable, because his dad's delusional.
But just because you expect that to be the explanation, but
just because your dad's delusional doesn't mean you are.
No, but some of it rubs off.
Sure, but like,
as long as your agent isn't delusional, I think you're okay.
I would think his dad would, just based upon the tweets he sends out, is probably saying, no, just play out this year and see where we go from here.
But I can't imagine him being able to make more than 3 years, 35, 36 mil.
Next year, you're saying?
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, what receivers make
that type of money?
$13 million a year. MVS types?
And I hate to break it to Christian Watson fans and his dad. Guess who was more productive in his time in a Green Bay Packer uniform?
Yeah.
I mean, outside of the stretch he had when he was a rookie, when he had a bunch of touchdowns and a handful of games, but even that has dried up. Like, he only scored twice last year.
Yeah.
So, an MVS type, would get that. 12, 13 is kind of what you'd get for a starting wide receiver.
I would offer it. I don't think you'd take it.
All right. I think that's all you can do, because I think that's fair. I think that's a fair deal.
I think that's fair. Yes.
Would you have extended him this offseason?
With his ACL?
Try to get him on the cheap?
It would still be considered offseason right now. I would throw out...
3 years, 30?
No, a little more than that. With 12 little, average. 12 average.
Well, but that would be 36. But, knowing how the Packers operate, and they would want to get a little bit of a discount. Hey, we're giving you money up front. We don't even know how that knee is.
So it would be fair, because it would essentially be a two-year deal. No. Because you'd add this year... Onto
the extension would kick in next year. Yes. Maybe you get a little more upfront money this year.
I would think about it.
Getting a deal done now?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, do I think he's going to be a pure number one? No. But I think he's got value.
And some of it is also the combination of him and some of these other guys you have. Like, when I think about Christian Watson on the field with Matthew Golden, that to me feels scary.
And then
there's an element of that combo that I think could do some real damage.
Like, the future could be Golden, Watson, and Reed. Let Dobbs go. That's pretty good. you know, especially projecting two, two three years from now. Yeah,
we always talk about.
There's only 34 guys who make an average of $10 million or more per season at
How
wide
many?
Receiver. 34.
Is that the ones we just rattled off? I mean,
well, yeah. I mean, obviously it goes deeper, but 34 guys.
Who's the 34th guy?
Tutu Atwell makes $10 million.
Keep going. Give me the list closer. Give me that range.
Dyami Brown makes $10 million. Jacoby Myers gets 11. Alan Lazard gets 11. Darius Slayton gets 12. Rashad Bateman, 12.25.
Don't we think that Christian Watson is better than Alan Lazard?
Rashad Bateman's probably a... what does Bateman get?
Bateman just got a... He just signed his extension. He gets 12.25.
That's a good comp right there. And Bateman's numbers are probably a little better.
Probably.
So I would, yeah. The hell? Yeah, I would throw Bateman's contract at him and see what he does.
Rashad Bateman last year had 756 yards receiving, 9 touchdowns.
I want to put this on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. And again, we have gone through it now, so hopefully there's a little bit of an explanation for it. I'm sure people will see it and go, what the hell are these people talking about? I would prefer Christian Watson, one, miss time at the start of the season, be out there for week one. I feel like a lot of Packers fans understand the sentiment, understand the case that you're making, Gabe, right? Mm-hmm. For a number of reasons. But we're going to put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Infinity Exteriors Twitter poll. You let us know what you think. Still a lot of stuff to get to here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We got to keep it moving. Potawatomi Casino Hotel is known for its endless ways to win, and Friday, June 27th, they are showing why that is the standard with the highly anticipated season finale blockbuster drawings. Watch your entries from Enchanted Spins, Unreal Treasures, and Boundless Bounty roll into drawings where $300,000 in cash and prizes is up for grabs. Be there to win your share June 27th only at Potawatomi. More information available online. Must be 21 years old to play.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What operating system does a Chewy computer run on?
I believe it's a Cat 14.
It's a COS. It's a Chewy operating system.
I was thinking Windows 98.
Yeah, very similar.
It's dial-up. Let me get my modem.
Chewy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
There is a lot of understandable and deserved excitement about what the Brewers are doing right now. I don't know how much people are standings watching, Cubs watching, but the Brewers are now 3.5 games back of the Cubs after a weekend that saw them win 4 straight games and just absolutely annihilate the Twins. Mizorowski was out there. That was exciting. I got a little choked up watching him go off the mound after his performance and the Minnesota fans giving him the ovation. I know they talk about Midwest nice, but wow, that was so cool. And it has been cool to watch him. But I got to tell you guys, what Christian Watson and the offense have been doing for the Milwaukee Brewers is incredible. And I can't remember the last time I was this excited about the Brewers on both sides, the offense and the defense, the bats and the pitching. Gabe, I think you got to go back to 2011, the last time this team, the Milwaukee Brewers, was as formidable with their pitching staff and with their lineup, fair or unfair?
I mean, for the last month, yes. I think we have to wait and see if this is just a hot streak for some of these guys or if this is actually going to be sustained, because for a lot of the season, the offense has been suspect. But yeah, you think about the run that they've been on since going back to 2018. Like, that 2018 team, the offense was spectacular. That's, you know, Yelich at the height of his powers, winning an MVP. You're trading for Mike Moustakas. Like, you've got, I mean, Travis Shaw is actually being, you know, a very productive member of that offense. You know, you trade for Yasmani Grandal after that. You've got a lot of bats, and you were just kind of hodgepodging the pitching altogether.
The bullpen openers. Was tough in 2018, if I remember.
Yeah, bullpen
correctly.
Was good, but, like, you're throwing out openers. You're just kind of figuring out a way to cover innings before you can get to that bullpen. And then, more as of late, you know, you think of the last handful of years, you know, with Council and then even into last year, although the offense was certainly better last year, you know, Corbin Burns winning a Cy Young, him and Woodruff at the height of their powers and the way that they were able to pitch, and Freddie Peralta being the third guy in the rotation. The pitching kind of carried the day, and the bullpen obviously was, the bullpen's been good. You know, that's the constant throughout. But the offense is starting to live up to some of the hype of what the pitching's been able to
what
do.
What happens with someone like Yelich, where you're batting, what'd you say, 180 something?
So on the 21st of May, he was batting 184.
So what happens? Confidence? What is it?
I think his camp
why
has
is
said,
it so streaky?
His camp has said timing has been the key to his resurgence over the last month or so. He's figured out the timing.
Is it kind of like a field goal kicker?
I mean, if the field goal kicker was trying to kick a ball that was moving.
But I mean,
you know,
I've never been on a field and unless there was injury and I was battling it to try and stay above water. Never had a confidence issue.
My guess is mechanically some things have to change after you have a back injury and have surgery on the back the way that Christian Yelich did. I'm guessing you're not able to swing exactly the way he used to back in 2018. So now you got to change, again, little things, and you're working on it. And like Jen said, then there's a timing mechanism that goes along with that. Okay, now I feel fundamentally sound with where my swing is, but now I've got to get, okay, what's my timing like once I get into the game? How fast are these pitches getting on me? How much can I react to the breaking ball that's coming off of the fastball? There's just a lot of variables that go into it, and sometimes it takes a little bit of time to kind of figure all that out.
So it's closer to golf than it is probably anything else.
Yeah, but again, it's just so different because with golf and kicking, the ball is stationary. It's right there. So that variable is gone. Whereas in baseball, that's one of the most important variables because it's moving.
How do you go from shooting a 74 one day to an 86 the next day?
I have no idea. No clue.
It's the same in baseball.
The
swings are comparable. Mm-hmm. I mean, the swing in golf is extremely important. Confidence.
The comparable thing there would be simply if you get one thing wrong and the process wrong, other things start to fall apart.
Yeah.
And it's sort of you need to be, that's why timing in baseball is so important. If you're not on time and you're, you know, say lifting your leg early or late, you are then getting to the ball late, and if you figure that out, things kind of fall into position for you.
Is anybody else with me that this is the first season since, you could argue, 2011? And Gabe, you made some good points about 2018. I think 2021, there was dominant pitching, but the bats were inconsistent. This is the first time since 2011 where it feels like they have the bats. And again, to your point, could be inconsistent. They might not be able to sustain the numbers they've been putting up lately. But then you look at the pitching staff that they've started to collect, and Woodruff isn't even back in the rotation yet. Like, there is an excitement surrounding this Brewers team, but I could make the argument that Christian Yelich is having a more impressive, that's right, I said Yelich, YouTube folks who are commenting that I said Christian Watson earlier. Christian Yelich is having a more impressive season than what we have seen from Mizorowski. And for me, it is about the resurgence. It is about, there are people who thought that Christian Yelich would never, ever, ever reach the heights that he has in the past. There are people who thought that he was done, that he would never be able to contribute the way he has in the past for the Milwaukee Brewers. And yet here he is, 32 years old, multiple back injuries, and he is, what is he hitting now? 250?
259.
259. So could you make the argument? Yes. What Christian Yelich is doing is more impressive than Mizorowski. And look, I'm over the moon.
You would lose the argument. If you want to make the argument, you can, but you'd lose the argument.
No, because again, Mizorowski, again, could he do this for a very long time? Absolutely he could. And I hope that he does. I'm very, very excited. But I'm thrilled for Yelich because you know the work that he has put into this. You know how pesky backs can be. You know that he is a veteran on this team. He is a clubhouse presence. He has all of those things weighing on his shoulders. The responsibility of being the face of a franchise and all of that stuff. And he has done the tweaking. He has done the tooling, the retooling to figure out a way to not just be serviceable, to be a major contributor to this offense. I think what Christian Yelich is doing this year has been remarkable in the last month or so.
Yeah, it's been the last month because, as I mentioned, on the 21st, he was batting 184 and now he's up to 259. And in that time, he has played very much like he did in those back-to-back seasons in 18-19, which is great. But has he done anything that hasn't been done since the year 1900? Because that's what we've seen out of Mizorowski. But yeah, again, I don't want to downplay Christian Yelich, but he hasn't done anything historic, has he?
Not yet.
But I've never seen Like, we haven't seen somebody like Jacob Mizorowski throwing 96 mile an hour sliders, yeah. throwing triple digits. I mean, again, in his first start, he threw more 100 more mile an hour or more pitches than every other Brewers starter combined since 2008 when they started tracking this stuff and keeping records of it. Like, he's doing things we've never seen before. I've already seen this. I've seen it out of Christian Yelich before. Jacob Mizorowski is... There's a reason why the bottom has fallen out of his odds to win Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, let's go over those for a minute, because somebody wanted to make a bet last week or 2 weeks ago, right after his first major league start, when the odds, Joshy, at Potawatomi Sportsbook were what?
I believe it was plus 1,200 following his first
start. To win Rookie?
Correct. He was tied with Chad Patrick.
What are those odds now today after his two incredible starts?
Well, last Wednesday, when the game got delayed, he was supposed to pitch in. He was looking at, I believe it was plus 700 or plus 900.
Okay. I think 900 is what you
did. After six innings of perfect baseball that he pitched there, he is now down all the way to plus 175.
Wait, is he the favorite?
He is the favorite. He has jumped the guy in second position whose name's escaping me.
Doesn't matter. Who cares?
Yes, now he has, after two MLB starts, which he got two wins in and only surrendered one hit, he is now the favorite to win NL Rookie of the Year.
Yeah. Look, again, I don't want to take anything away from what Jacob Mizorowski is doing, can do, will do. It's all very exciting. Going to the game this Wednesday when he and Paul Skeens will be on the hill. I would bet the under. Whatever the under is, I'm going to, I mean, that's
the under might be 2.5.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Let's wait to see what the under is, Jen, before we go crazy. All right. But yes,
the Pirates can't score.
They're so bad.
Also,
in that one.
Here's a question. Did the Brewers' offense screw Mizorowski's perfect game there by scoring a bunch of runs?
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
Because he was cooking.
But I also don't think he would have ever had
the
chance to finish it.
And then he sat for 20 minutes, right? Isn't that what the broadcast kept saying? He was sitting for 20 minutes.
They would have never let him finish
it. Yeah, I mean, those perfect games, too. Yeah, they wouldn't have. But those perfect games, when they happen, things usually have to go perfect on both sides. Like, it needs to be low scoring. You kind of just churning through, getting through quick because... You can't sit that long and just stay out there and come back in perfect
form. But can they flex this to a national game or no?
No, because there's no national TV, I think, on
ESPN?
Wednesday.
No?
They don't have a game on Wednesday nights, I don't think.
I would bet they'll be doing the cut-ins wherever they
can. Yeah, like on MLB Network or whatever. Because the other thing is it's an afternoon game. It's a 1:10 first pitch.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Afternoon game at AmFam on Wednesday between those two.
Kind of must-watch.
For who?
Kind of.
Wait, time out. Yes, I would argue it's a must.
Yeah.
I'm going to be there.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me know how it goes.
I'll send you some vids.
So 1 o'clock's perfect.
So the must watch, does that apply to everyone but you?
Well, I'll be watching because it's supposed to rain this whole week.
Okay, so you won't be out mowing the lawn.
No,
or
I won't
something.
Be out.
Well, and your wife can't commandeer the television like she did the last time.
No. I'll be buying dinner, too.
Oh, because you're not going to let another mistake occur.
Wait, so is this the trade-off? She bans you from Amazon. You ban her from going and picking up the groceries?
They're kind of trending that way, yes.
You have that kind of power?
And when it comes to food, I think, because she fully admits that she can't cook. Which is fine. I love cooking.
I sort of think we breezed past a little too fast that Chewy just realized burgers are ground beef.
Oh, I knew they were ground beef, but I thought in order, you need a binder, right? Is that a word that you use?
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm familiar.
I understand what you're saying.
For other things.
You don't need a binder for burgers.
You can if you'd want to.
Yeah,
some people will chop
up
some bacon, throw it in there.
Onions?
I've even seen some people use a little
sour
cream.
There had to be breadcrumbs in an egg.
That's
just for meatloaf?
Or meatballs. Mm-hmm.
Or meatballs. Learn something. I bet you guys didn't know this, that my next door neighbors put down in the sand to keep the birds away from pooping in their little beach, little sandbox thing.
What'd they put in the sand?
I bet you didn't know cinnamon was flammable.
What?
So
I'm trying to follow here. They put cinnamon in the sand because it's flammable and that keeps
the
birds away.
No, no, no. I think the smell of it, or the,
I did know that
geese
I put
and
it
ducks.
In my plants.
don't like the smell of it, but I said, did you know that cinnamon is flammable?
Yes, because
this is very much of the human head weighs 8 pounds. Yes. We are having a Jerry Maguire little kid.
You didn't know that.
Here.
Can we do that in here? Let's bring some cinnamon.
Chewy, didn't guys? We had a conversation about how Mussolini gets the drink at the one bar, and they always light the cinnamon stick on fire. And at one time, it took off in flames on us as we were just relaxed and sitting.
Well,
there.
Yeah, but I don't know if that has anything specifically to do with cinnamon. I mean, it's a stick. Yeah, you can light anything on fire. Your shirt's flammable. Like, I mean, what are we saying?
No, if you have a big thing, it'll go woof.
Are you talking spontaneous combustion?
Yeah.
Yeah, if it gets struck by lightning.
My hat's flammable. Like, what are we doing?
How do you think that went there, Chew?
Hey, it went great for me. Because I had him hook, line, and sinker.
You had who?
Someone, somewhere.
With a dedicated Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank knows what success looks like. For 15 years, we've been serving businesses, organizations, and individuals in the area with a longstanding commitment to the healthcare and not-for-profit sectors. Whether it's expansion to commercial payments, Fifth Third offers a full suite of financial services and solutions to navigate your organization's complex needs. Experience the difference with Fifth Third Bank National Association. Custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You got to have a condiment with the bread.
Yeah,
you can't
want some
eat
sort
bread
of
alone.
Yeah, you want some sort of lubricant with the bread. Yes, that's correct.
Yes,
it's just necessary.
You follow?
Like, you don't just be sitting there eating like pieces of white bread with nothing on it.
Can't be going dry.
Yeah, can't be raw dog and just white bread.
On 94.5 ESPN.
For your next big event, Noble Catering has to be your first call. Southeastern Wisconsin's premier craft caterer, preferred by over 30 venues in the area, and coming in the spring of 2026, Noble's new headquarters, Brixton's Turn, a 400-person event venue located in the heart of Bayview's Harbor District. Have beverage needs for that upcoming party? Neat Beverage Catering offers mobile bartending to elevate that event. And last but certainly not least, check out the stunning riverfront bar inside the Associated Bank River Center Vault, a perfect summer spot for a night on the town or before a ball game. Featuring happy hour specials, a menu with tremendous flatbreads, and my favorite part, the raw bar. And of course, you also get incredible views of the Milwaukee River.
Maybe we should put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning, the Infinity Exteriors Twitter poll. When Chewy says must watch, that means for everyone. That means for everyone but you.
What's actually something that is must watch for you? That you're like, hey, I cannot miss this.
Mobland. But that, it might be the best of whatever those series are called that I've seen. And I miss it.
So,
I haven't seen Mobland.
Yeah. Oh.
But with Mobland, it's not like you're sitting there waiting for it to come out. Like once a new episode, or I don't know how Mobland does it, if they do it weekly, if they just drop the entire series. But is there anything that's live on television that you would ever consider must watch? Like, hey, I got to make sure I'm on my couch.
Yep.
At 6:30, because this game's starting at 6:35.
First week in a college football and first week in a NFL. Must watch. Surreal. Awesome.
So you that's know? It.
I was going to say
that's
that.
Pretty much
and
it.
That is
that's it.
It.
That's it. You know? Week three, week four, Monday night game. You know.
See, I still like the unpredictability of live sports. You know, and I love a good television show, right? And I think if it's done correctly, it can be transcendent. But there's nothing that can be. Think about the game last night, Game 7 between OKC and the Pacers. And you know, again, I keep thinking Pacers could do this. Pacers could knock them out. Right? Everybody has underestimated the Pacers. Pacers are not as good as everyone says they are, whatever the whole shtick is. And I'm thinking Pacers could win this sucker. And then 7 minutes into the game, Halliburton goes down with the Achilles injury. Whoa, plot twist.
Yeah.
Didn't see that coming.
It was basically over.
And then it was tough. Although I will say this. Third quarter, TJ McConnell, he goes on that epic run, right?
Yeah.
Moving around. He's driving in the hole and he can't miss from 0 feet. And I go to my husband, I go, if they win this game and he outscores Pascal Siakam tonight, Could he be the MVP off the bench in the NBA Finals?
Yeah, but the problem with TJ McConnell is he can't play like that for the required amount of minutes that he would have needed to do that. Like, he can do it in spurts. That's why it works, coming in off the bench. Oh, I can do that in spurts. Oh, I have to do that for an entire half because Tyrese isn't coming back in? Yeah, that's because he did all those great things in the third quarter. That was the only thing the Pacers did in the third quarter because they got outscored by 14.
Oh, there was a stretch where he was the only one who had scored for the entire second half.
Yeah, because, yeah. But even
maybe
like,
it was field goals. Maybe that was the distinction.
But even watching, I was watching yesterday afternoon, College World Series. It was game two of the College World Series. Mm-hmm. That was, again, that's a game that was over early because Umpshow decided to kick a coach out in the first inning.
I don't know. With the NBA, I want dynasty teams to play. Like, if Lakers were playing Celtics, because I hate the Lakers so much, would force me to OKC, Indiana. I'm like, who cares? Like, I have no interest, zero interest whatsoever. If either one of them won, great. You know?
Yeah, well, it doesn't affect my life. I didn't put any money on it in the series. I didn't put any money on. Although I was thinking,
surprising,
how quickly could I get to Potawatomi Sports? I could place a little wager on this one now that Tyrese Halliburton is out of the game. Because to your point, it did seem like a foregone conclusion. Even though he's been streaky, even though he's been inconsistent in this series, he still has been clutch. And the Pacers, they were down, what, 20 plus in the fourth quarter, maybe? And they still kind of clawed their way back, made it a 10-point game. And you thought, here they go. Here are the Pacers again.
I guess I didn't think that because it's just different when you don't have your best player. Like, oh, that's cute.
Did you shut it off? 10.
No, I kept it on.
You did?
I mean, what else was I going to watch last night?
Good point.
Sunday night. Sunday night, game 7. In case somebody scored 50 points or something cool happened, you want to make sure you had it on. But you feel for Tyrese. That's tough.
Oh, yeah. That 25 and Achilles? Tell you what, they're going to start taking calf pulls and calf injuries a little more serious now.
Well, yeah, because he rushed back, right? That's what we were just talking about with Christian Watson earlier. Yeah. He wanted to be out there for his team. He wanted to be on the floor.
Yeah, and I don't blame him.
Kind of
Kevin Durant thing. You know?
To me, it's worth the risk because you never know when you're going to be back.
But now you've got the curse of the zero.
Oh.
Dame Lillard, zero. Achilles. Tyrese Halliburton, zero. Achilles. Jason Tatum, zero. Achilles.
East is wide open.
I would not wear the number zero.
What about double zero? Double zero is fine, right? Because that's something completely different.
Chief.
Feels a little too close.
Same as one?
A risk I am unwilling to take. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Roll on second hour. Jeff Levering coming up. Bottom of the hour. Stick around.